Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I was thinking about the subject of praying, and boy, there's a lot that can be said about prayer. Amen. Luke chapter number 18, if you got your place there, put your finger there, go to 1 Thessalonians, and chapter number 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. I want to read a verse there in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 also. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. When you find your place, let's stand in honor and reverence of the reading of God's Word. I'll read two verses and then pray. You can be seated tonight. Luke chapter number 18, verse number 1 says this, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Look what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 17. "Pray without ceasing." Pray without ceasing. He said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then he says in 1 Thessalonians that we are to pray without ceasing. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. I pray, Lord, that your will and way would be done, God. I pray that, Lord, you'd give us leadership as we preach tonight. I pray, God, that, Lord, your will and way, Father, would be done through the service. Father, may we increase in our prayer, and God, may you help us with our prayer life. God, we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Leave your Bible open. We're going to use it several different times throughout the message tonight. But I want to talk to you just a little bit about praying tonight and being consistent in our prayer life. I remember years ago, and you've heard me say this a lot. Matter of fact, you heard me say it on Sunday. You've heard me say this a lot, but I remember years ago my dad making this statement. He said, "If you want to see things happen, then pray. If you want to see things happen, pray." And boy, how true that is tonight. Prayer is one of our most valuable tools. It in the Word of God is our most valuable tools. And yet, so many times we use prayer as a spare tire. In other words, what I mean by that is we don't really have an effectual, fervent prayer unless we need something. And we'll use prayer as a 911 service. But, you know, prayer is so much more than that. He said in Luke that we are to pray and not to faint. And he said in Thessalonians that we are to pray without ceasing, to pray without ceasing. I read a guy the other day, and here's what he said. He said, when you give illustrations on prayer, or when you talk about God answering prayer, do you have to talk about someone else's prayer life? Do you have to talk about someone else's prayer life, or can you talk about your own? Let me ask you this question tonight. When was the last time God answered a prayer for you? When was the last time? And I was praying this past week about some things, and man, just something that the Lord put in my heart, just something personal that I was asking God for, and I've not asked nobody else for it. I've not said nothing to nobody else about it, just something in my life I was praying about, asking God to do something for me. And I prayed Sunday and Monday, and yesterday morning, I seen God answer that prayer. And man, you know what? It just encouraged my heart. And here's the reason why. I like to see God answer prayers that I've asked nobody else to pray. You know, if we constantly, and there's nothing wrong with sharing prayer requests. Man, we'll have the board up here on Friday, and you can write prayer requests on that. We'll have things wrote on it. There's nothing wrong with sharing prayer requests with others. But I want to say something to you. If you're constantly sharing them with everybody else, how do you know if it's God answering you or God answering them? Now, I like, you understand what I'm saying? I like some of those things. Man, when I don't tell nobody else about it, I don't tell my wife about it, I don't ask her to pray about it, I don't tell the girls to pray about it, I don't tell my mama or my daddy or my church to pray about it. And I just go to God in prayer and, man, see God answer that. How wonderful that is, man. It just stirs my heart. Prayer tonight. One said this, Spurgeon said, if you do not feel like praying, then pray until you do. If you do not feel like praying, then pray until you do. Let me tell you the reason you're here tonight and you're saved by the grace of God, because of prayer. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody called your name out in prayer. Somebody lifted you up in prayer. And that's the reason we're here today. Let me tell you the reason some of you has overcome some major health issues. I understand it's God, but somebody went to God on your behalf and prayed for you, and here we are today. I really believe in all of my heart, if it wasn't for prayer, that the Monday morning before Daddy come home from the hospital in 2020 with COVID, he came home that Wednesday. I believe that Monday morning he wouldn't have made it past that. But boy, we began to call people and beg people to get a hold of God and to pray. And boy, God, by Wednesday, had turned that thing completely around and he come home. Let me tell you the reason why. Somebody prayed. Somebody prayed. Man, I think about Paul and the original Jailhouse Rock. They prayed and the place was shaken. You say, do you believe that, preacher? Absolutely, I believe that. Man, I'm going to tell you something. There's, to me, one of the greatest times of worship is in prayer. One of the greatest times of worship is in prayer. I said this on Sunday, but I'll say it again. Man, we was at that pastor's retreat, and on Thursday of it, we went up in that upper room in that chapel, and we began to pray. And man, we prayed there a little while, and all of a sudden, Brother Kenny Ball from Bryson City got hooked up to another world up there praying. And if you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying, man. He got hooked up. And I don't know how long it was. I lost track of time. I really didn't even know where I was at for just a little while, man. He got, boy, what a great joy it is whenever we get to talking to the Father and he lends us his ear for just a little while. I remember years ago, Brother Todd McKeon. I remember years ago, Brother Todd McKeon was preaching for us. And it was back when Brother Jake was still here and Brother Chris was still here and Brother Mater was still here. And I remember that Sunday morning or that Saturday evening, I told him, I said, hey guys, I said, y'all want to go up on the mountain and pray in the morning about daylight? And they said, yeah, preacher, let's do it. And I said, we'll go up Mom and Daddy's and park there at their cabin. And I said, we'll just walk up the ridge there and just stop up there on the side of the ridge and we'll pray a while. And they said, man, let's do it. So we loaded up early that Sunday morning for daylight and got up there. We walked back up the side of that mountain there and was up there on the ridge and got to praying. Man, while we got to praying, heaven came down up there on the side of the mountain. And Brother Todd's voice began to change directions. And he would get faint in his voice, and then you'd hear his voice strong again. And you that knows Brother Todd knows he's got a very, I'm very quiet compared to his voice. Man, it was echoing through those mountains, and then it would fade away. And I thought, well, what in the world's going on? Now, I just stopped praying, Brother Stan, and I turned around and looked, and Brother Todd was up walking around with his eyes closed, walking up there on the side of the mountain, never run into a tree, never run into a branch. Man, he was hooked up praying, and boy, we saw God do things out of that prayer meeting. Oh, yeah. I remember years ago, I first came to the church. I'm talking about praying tonight. Remember years ago, I first came to the church, and it wasn't long after I came. Of course, Jake was here. It seemed like him and Zeb was about two then. But Jake was here, and Chris had started coming, and Mater had started coming. I think it was before any of them even started preaching. And I called them one Saturday evening. I said, hey, boys, y'all can go pray in the morning about daylight. Yeah, preacher, where are we going to? I said, well, just meet me up here at the church. I said, we'll walk off a hill back there behind the cemetery. We'll walk off down there to that rock that we baptized at. We'll go down there and pray a while in the morning. And they said, well, do we need to come in our church clothes? I said, you've never walked off that hill back there. You don't want to come in your church clothes. They said, well, all right, will we have time to go home and get ready? And I said, yeah, we'll have time. I said, come at daylight, all right? Be here before the sun comes up. Man, before the sun ever come up, we walked off down in there. Boy, we began to pray. God, would you fill the church up? God, would you let people get saved? God, would you let us support more missionaries? Boy, I'm going to tell you something. What's happened around our church was birthed off of them trips up on the mountain and those trips down there around that rock and praying and begging God to do. Prayer changes things, man. It changes things. He said that we're to pray without fainting. You know, a lot of times we'll pray and we'll begin to faint. You know, sometimes, and we talked about this last week, man, there was so much information given in that pastor's retreat about different things. And me and Brother Brian was talking about this yesterday, and we talked about it up there. Man, you come back from something like that, and you're refreshed, you're charged up. And you know what you do, man, for 4 or 5 weeks, man, you hit the ground running wide open, but then you begin to faint. And in our prayer life, how many times do we hear somebody preach on praying, but then, boy, we'll pray for 2 or 3 weeks, and then we begin to faint. You know what he said? He said that we're to pray without fainting. He said that we're to pray without ceasing. I remember, I'm going to give you just 2 or 3 things here in just a second about how our prayer life can be consistent, but I remember the first January after Mom and Daddy joined the church. That year, that January, we challenged everybody with the Daniel fast. Now, we always challenge something in the beginning of January for 21 days. But that year, we really challenged everybody to do the Daniel fast, strict to that Daniel fast. And Dad, boy, he complained a lot during that time. But anyway, I would say I'm picking, but I wasn't picking. I'll be glad and I can eat me some more steak, praise God. I'll never forget whenever he come off of it, I called him on the 22nd day and I said, what are you doing? He said, me and Richard Boyd and Miss Terry and Mama is headed. Where was it y'all like to go eat them hot dogs? No, you went and eat a hot dog at night. Dario, he said, we're headed to Dario. He's ready to go get a steak right now. I mean, I thought he's going to hack right there. Long high horn. He said, we're headed to Dario to get a foot-long loaded hot dog. And I thought, man, if I'd eat a foot-long hot dog on the 22nd day, I'd have been like that guy on that airplane yesterday. But anyway, here's what he said. We was, I don't know, 7, 8 days into him, we was just talking about praying. Here's what he said. He said, I'm asking the Lord for 21 days to let me be in the spirit of prayer and everywhere I go. You know what he was saying? I want to pray without ceasing. Y'all remember, man, his name just left me that preaches for us every one. Brother Milton Taylor. Brother Milton Taylor said, some of the best praying that I do is looking at the road. He said, looking over the stern well at the road. He said, I spend so much time on the road. And he said, that's where I pray at the biggest part of the time. Living in a spirit, our consistent prayer life. Man, staying with it. Let me show you. This is just very topical, but just a couple of things. One thing that we've got to understand about our prayer life is there is distractions from praying. The devil don't want us to pray. The devil will distract our mind from praying. He'll distract it with the day's activities. He will distract it with things that we need to do. He'll distract it with wrong thoughts. Are you with me? One of the things that he'll distract it with is things that we need to do. You ever got down and got ready? I hope you've got a prayer life. Amen. I hope you got a prayer life. If you ever got down and got ready to pray and man, you, Lord, I ask you, God, to forgive me, Lord, and cleanse me from any shortcomings because he said if I've got iniquity in my heart, he'll not hear me. And first thing you need to do in your prayer life is get your heart right with God every day. Every day. God, forgive me, cleanse me. Lord, let your ear now be attentive to the prayer that thy servant makes unto thee. That's what Nehemiah said. God, hear me. Get sin out of your life. And you get that out of your life, and boy, you begin to thank him for who he is. Just thank him for being God. Brother Taylor said, I thank him for all the fish in the sea, and all the waters in the sea. Boy, we just begin to thank him for who he is. And then all of a sudden, well, you need to go do this. Or the phone will ring. I'm going to tell you something. It's all right to turn that thing off sometimes. You say, well, what if my family needs me? Here's what you do. They've got settings on them. And you make a personal setting where your family can call you if they need you. You say, well, what if somebody else needs me? They'll leave a message. Are you with me? That it will distract us. And there's the distractions to our prayers. If the devil can keep you from praying, he can keep a lot of things from happening. Are you with me tonight? He can keep a lot of things from happening if he can keep you from praying. So understand tonight that there is distractions from praying. But I thought about this, there's the distractions from praying. But I thought about this. I'm going to give you just a couple of things right here. And again, this is just simple elementary things that's jotted down. Here's some steps to having an effective prayer life. How can my prayer life be consistent? How can my prayer life be effective? I want to say this to you tonight. For 15 years, and it had this testimony before I came here, but for 15 years, our church has had the testimony of being a praying church. These people all over this community will call me and say, will your church please pray for me? Boy, what a testimony tonight. What a testimony tonight. And I want to say something. I just don't want to be known for a praying church. I want to be known for a church that has an effective prayer. That has an effective prayer. A lot of people can pray, but it's God listening to them. That effective prayer. Here's some things that we can do. Understand, and this is going to tie back into what I said a while ago. Understand that prayer can be a struggle. I didn't get no amens. Prayer can be a struggle. Your natural man don't want to pray. A lot of times, if I'm going to be in length, and I don't talk about my prayer life much, but a lot of times if I'm going to be at length in prayer, I leave my eyes open. You say, why? Because I'll go to sleep. I'll tell you something. Last night, I couldn't sleep last night. I don't know what in the world was wrong with me. Might have been because I drunk coffee late in the evening, but I couldn't sleep last night. I tossed and tumbled and kicked around and got up and walked around the house a time or two. Leslie's fussed at me all day, said I kicked her phone off the charger last night and it didn't charge. I told her, I said, your phone was underneath the bed. She said, yeah, because you kicked it underneath there. Finally, about 3 o'clock this morning, I laid down. And you know what I started doing? Praying. I guarantee you by 3:05, I was sawing logs. Praying sometimes is a struggle. It's a struggle. When you go to Romans 7, and I'm not going to take time, I was going to turn and read all this, but when you go to Romans 7, he talks about that old man and that new man. He talks about that battle that is raging within us. How the old man wants to do this and the new man wants to do this. That which I would do, I do not. That which I would not do, that I do. He talks about that. Let me tell you what, that is a struggle. And in our prayer life, in our time of intercession with our Father, in our time of having a conversation with God, sometimes it's a struggle. It's a struggle. Who are you going to allow to win that struggle? Understand that prayer can be a struggle. Here's something else I wrote down about an effective prayer life. Prepare your mind to be in the right state when you go into prayer. And I understand that there's times we say, Lord, thank you for this food. And I'm just going to be honest. When I'm praying over my food, I don't pray for all the missionaries. I don't pray for all of y'all. If I just got off the phone and there's a need, then I'll say, Lord, help Miss Christie's. Brother Robert's beating her right now. But when I'm praying over my meal, Brother Brian, it's time to eat. Now, ain't no need in eating cold taters if you don't have to, okay? Now, thank you, Lord, for this food. I appreciate it. In Jesus' name, amen. That's just, you say, preacher, you're awful. Well, judge me if you want to. But I'm talking about when you sit down to really pray, you got to prepare your mind for that. You got to prepare your mind for that. Have readiness of mind and have a mind ready to fellowship with God. Boy, that's what we're doing when we're praying. We're getting to talk to God. Not just anybody. God, the creator of all the world, is lending an ear to us and letting us have a conversation with Him. Readiness of mind is to earnestly want or a hunger for the very presence of God. You know what the old timers would say? Pray until you pray through. Pray until you pray through. Can I just say something to you? That's a true statement. Pray until you pray through. I remember, and some of y'all may remember this, back before we tore all this out one Sunday morning, I had preached, and Brother Josh had been talking to me, Brother Mater had been talking to me, and he told me, he said, preacher, he said, my prayer life's just dry right now. You go through those seasons. You go through those seasons sometimes. He said, preacher, he said, it just feels like my prayers is not getting above the roof of my mouth. Boy, I preached that Sunday morning, and I didn't even get done preaching, and Josh moved and come to the altar right over there and knelt in the altar. There's a door there at the time that went into what was the church office at the time, and he knelt there, and he started praying. He prayed a little while, and he ended up just laying flat down and praying that Sunday morning. I finished preaching. I give the altar call. After I give the altar call, we dismiss service. Josh was still laying in the altar praying. And you say, did you go pray with him? No, I didn't go pray with him. I went to the back. I sat down in one of the classrooms. No, I went in my office. I went in the church office. It was the same thing then. I went in there, and it was right over in here. And in about 30 minutes, and what I do every Sunday, I go to the office the biggest part of the time, and I wait till lunch is ready, and then I'll go home and eat, and then I'll come back up here. And in about 30 minutes after everybody had left, all of a sudden, old Josh cut loose the shout. And I think my mic just went dead. All of a sudden, old Josh cut loose the shout. And boy, I was sitting in my office, and whenever he cut loose the shouting, I just leaned back in my office chair and went to laughing. It wasn't a laughing at him, it was a laughing with him. And I let him shout there a little while, and I walked back out there, and he was walking around the auditorium, man, he was just having a fit. I walked up to him, and I said, hey, man, you all right? He said, oh, yeah. He said, I got through, preacher. He said, when I went to the altar, I decided I wasn't getting up until I prayed through. Hey, you got to prepare your mind to have an effectual prayer life. Prepare your mind for it. I thought about this. There's times that if I want to pray 30 minutes, I know that I can go to YouTube or I can go in my playlist and there's 30 minutes worth of music. And I'm not talking about junk. I'm talking about something holy. And I'm not even talking about, now don't nobody fall out with me right here. I'm not even talking about Southern gospel music. I'm talking about something that's holy and calming. And boy, I put my earbuds or earbuds or AirPods or whatever them things are called in, Brother Stan, and I set it 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, whatever it is. And boy, I'll just let that play in my ears while I'm talking to the preparing. I'm talking about you having an effectual prayer life. And you say, well, preacher, how in the world do you pray that long? Well, can I say this to you? Get you a prayer list. Get you a prayer list. Write it down. You say, well, preacher, how do you make a prayer list? Come up here. Sit down or stand right here and look through the church. Go, well, this one sits here. My prayer list is by families. It's not by the way you sit, because some of you don't ever get along, don't sit together. So it's by families. Are you with me?
Get you a prayer list. I'm talking about preparing your mind to pray and have an effectual prayer life. Get you a prayer list. Some people, and I don't do this, but some people does a prayer journal. And I should. I thought about that a lot today. And writing down really specific things that you're praying for. And then writing down the date that you started praying about that. And then the date that you seen God answer it. And when the devil comes to you and tells you that prayer don't work, then go back in that book. As a matter of fact, Ruth talks about marking that place. Marking that place. She says, "Preacher, what are you saying?" I'm talking about preparing your mind to be in fellowship with God. He said, "Preacher, I need wisdom on something." What did he say in James? "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who give it to all men freely." Go to God in prayer and seek wisdom from God. It's preparing our mind. And then I thought about this. Prayer, understanding prayer can be a struggle and preparing your mind for it. But understand this, prayer is worship. Prayer is worship. If all you ever do in your prayer is ask, then you've got prayer mixed up. If that's all you ever do. I was talking to somebody. I don't remember who it was. I'm thinking, and I wouldn't say it if he was here because I wouldn't want to embarrass him, but I'm thinking it's Brother Aaron that told me this. But he has a day set aside, and every time that he prays that day, it's just prayers of thanksgiving. It's not asking God for nothing that day. It's just a day of thanksgiving. And let me tell you something. Boy, that'd be real good for every one of us. That we just set aside a day, and that day we ask for forgiveness of our sins. But other than that, we just took that day and praised God. Hey, you want God to show up, you go to thanking Him for His Son. You go to thanking Him for the blood of Calvary. You go to thanking Him for letting His Son go to Calvary and die for your sins. You go to thanking Him and praising Him. And I promise you, He'll show up. He'll show up. Man, I'm telling you, we got prayer mixed up a lot of times. We spend the majority of our time praying and asking when we should be praying and praising Him for who He is. And for what He's done. So, well, He's not done nothing for me, man. Something wrong with you. It is a time of worship. I want to say this to you, and I'll be done. Eliminate those distractions that would be around you during your prayer time. Eliminate that. Have a place that you go pray. Have a place. We have an altar. We have a family altar in our house. It's Wormy Walden. And it was built. It's a family altar. I'm going to tell you something. You need to teach your kids how to pray. And sir, if it's always the wife praying, something's wrong. So it's not your wife's place to teach your kids to pray. That's your place, sir. Amen, Brother Jonathan. Have a place and have a time every day that you pray with your family. Every night we get together as a family and we pray. The biggest part of the time it's at our altar. Every once in a while, Olivia will run upstairs and say she's ready for bed and don't want to come back downstairs. So to keep from having a family feud, we go upstairs and pray. We did that last night, didn't we, Olivia? Just I'm messing with her. She'll get mad at me. "Daddy, I'm not like that. I'll pray wherever you want to pray." Have a place that you pray and eliminate the distractions, man. Eliminate the distractions. You don't see God do something in your life? Pray. Pray. Turn those distractions off. I know I've said this about journaling, but man, have some notes. Write down things you want to pray about. Bring Wednesday night. Wednesday night's our main prayer night. We go over prayer requests. We do prayer requests aloud. Man, bring a notepad and write those things down. Get your phone out and put them on a note. I hardly ever use a notepad and a pen and a notepad anymore. I use my tablet and an eye pencil. It's what I use all the time anymore. But write those things down and pray about it. He said, "Preacher, what should be at the top of my prayer list?" Well, number one, the first thing that should be at the top of your prayer list is doing the will of God for your life and your family. And let me tell you something, and it's hard to say, but I'm just going to be honest. Let me tell you something, in order to be right at the very top of your prayer list, your pastor and his family. They should be right at the top of your prayer list. You say, "Well, why in the world would I pray for my pastor?" Well, why wouldn't you? You must trust him. You come in here to church. Pray for him. You know what I found out? Let me tell you what I found out. It's hard to talk about the person you're praying for. Hard to talk about the person you're praying for. We was eating with Brother Stacy Piercy. I'm right now done. It's just simple things I've jotted down about praying. We was eating with Brother Stacy Piercy. Madeline, come start playing something softly. We was eating with Brother Stacy Piercy several years ago. And Brother Stacy Piercy got to telling stories about Brother Sammy Allen. And man, Brother Sammy Allen, matter of fact, I'll tell you another story in just a minute. But he got telling stories about Brother Sammy Allen. And he said that Brother Sam and a whole group of preachers were sitting around a table one night at a restaurant eating. Said one of them young preachers started talking about another preacher. Said, "Can you believe he done this? Can you believe he done that? Can you believe he done this?" Said Brother Sammy just kept eating. Let that boy talk for a little while. Said Brother Sammy got done eating, and whenever he got done eating, you said, "No, Brother Sammy." Said when he got done, when Brother Sammy spoke, you listened. He said he got done eating. Said Brother Sammy looked over at that boy and said, "Well, son," I can just see Brother Sammy now straightening his tie up while he's talking to him. He said, "It seems that you know so much about this other preacher. Why don't you get down on your knees right here and pray for him? I tell you to get done praying." He said, "You just pray to, I say you can stop praying." That boy looked at him. He said, "Do what, Brother Sammy?" Brother Sammy, "You just, I had to understand, Brother Matt, you know what I'm saying." He said, "I said, you know so much about that preacher. Why don't you just get down right here and pray for him till we tell you it's enough?" And said that boy got down in that restaurant and went to calling that preacher's name out in prayer, saying, "God, would you help him with this? And God, would you help him with that? And God, would you help him with this?" Said he prayed a little while, and Brother Sammy tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Well, that'll be enough. That'll be enough. We can go now. That'll be enough." It's hard to talk about the person you're praying for. If you're lifting your pastor up in prayer the way you're supposed to, you're not going to be talking about him. You're not going to be running your mouth about him. Your kids is not going to hear you questioning him. Amen. Amen. Boy, pray for each other. Pray for your church family. Pray for your church family. Brother Stennett Blue, he preached for us. Man, y'all remember Brother Blue. What a preacher. What a preacher. Matter of fact, was he in y'all's home? I thought he was. What a preacher. We were sitting in Claude Love's barbershop in Roaring River, North Carolina. I don't know. It's been 7-8 years ago. Brother Blue's been dead a couple years now, hadn't he? Been 7-8 years ago. He was preaching for Brother Brian Cardwell. And Brother Brian said, "Hey, I'm going to go tomorrow, and we're just going to gom around with the preacher." He said, "You want to go with us?" And I said, "Absolutely. Anytime that I can spend with Brother Blue, absolutely, man." And I got in the car with him, and we went, and that's what we did. We just gommed around all day, and Brother Blue said he needed a haircut, so we went by Claude Love's. And it wasn't just a couple people in there. Claude was cutting a man's hair, and he got done. He started on the next man for Brother Blue. And I told Brother Blue, I said, "I want to hear some stories. I said, just tell me some stories." He said that real high-pitched voice. He said, "Have I ever told you about the first time me and old Brother Sammy prayed all night together?" Him and Brother Sammy was really close. And the first time they ever prayed all night together, they was together. First time they ever prayed all night, they was together. And they was at Dr. Ray's camp in Mississippi, Dr. Percy Ray's camp. He said, "I'll never forget." Here's what Brother Percy, or what Brother Blue said. He said, "I'll never forget." He said, "I was laying on the left-hand side." He said, "I was laying prostrate out on the floor." And he said, "I was begging God to touch my life and allow me to preach." He said God had already called me, but I was asking him for open doors. Him and Brother Sammy both was young then. And he said all of a sudden in the middle of that prayer, he said, "I just felt the presence of somebody hovering over me." He said, about that time, he said, I glanced out of the corner of my eye, and it was Dr. Percy Ray. And he said that he laid down, and he said when he got down on his knees, he said he laid down across my back. And instead of whispering in this ear that he was laying beside of, he laid across my back, and he said he whispered in my other ear, and here's what he said. Oh, God, take this man, fill him with the Holy Ghost, let him touch the world. Amen. And he said, Brother Ray looked at me and he said, boy, you got it. Go reach the world. And when Brother Blue, at that time, we were sitting in there, I felt sorry for that guy in the barber chair because Claude was listening to us and he was a cutting like his. And at that time, Brother Blue started crying and he said, you know what I've been able to do through preaching missions conferences and traveling? He said, I've been able to touch the world. And he said, boys, pray, and God will let you touch the world. Dr. Ray was building the camp. If you never get a hold of the book, A Ray for God, if you never get a hold of it, it's going to cost you. Matter of fact, the last time I seen it, it was about $500-$600 for that book. It's unreal. I've got it back there in my office. If I ever see you touch it, I'll shoot you. Daddy picked it up the other day and I took it away from him. You say, why? Because it would have wandered off real quick. Dr. Ray was building the camp. They was pouring the cement on the floor. Somebody come running up and he said, Dr. Ray, there's a bad storm in town coming this way. That cement, they had just finished pouring that cement. It was still wet and all that rain on it would have ruined it. And they said that they could see the storm there in Mississippi coming to them. They said that Dr. Ray got down and began to pray. He said, Lord, this is your money we've spent. Lord, this is your camp. Lord, whatever you decide to do, then Lord, it's your business. But if you'd see fit to allow this storm to go around us, then I sure would appreciate it. They said they stood that day and watched the rain get to where they was at and parted. And it rained all the way around them. And not one drop of rain ever dropped on that cement. I'm telling you, prayer changes things. 2016, we watched a storm on the radar come in towards that tent. Matter of fact, there was tornadoes with it that was springing off just a few miles away from that tent. We began to pray. I was moderating the meeting and trying to pray and not have a panic attack. 2,000 people sitting underneath the tent and a tornado fixing to hit. And we watched that storm come to the edge of that tent and part and go around that tent. The flags didn't even hardly move outside of the tent. You say, why? Because somebody prayed. You'll see God do things. You pray. It said, pray without ceasing. It said, pray and not faint. May God burden us for prayer again. May God burden our hearts for prayer. Let me tell you the reason Craig Golden's in heaven today. Tell you the reason why. Because for a week and a half, a group of men prayed and begged God. We walked up yonder on the side of the mountain and called his name out and begged God to save him. Craig Golden's in heaven today. And a young lady got saved at his funeral because somebody prayed.